Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry today. The breakdown in security in Iraq and Syria that has forced millions of people to flee across the Mediterranean is a direct result of the confrontation between Syrian government forces, anti-government factions of several stripes in Syria, and of course, so-called Islamic State fighters in Syria and across the border in Iraq. President Obama has refused to send American advisors or troops into Syria. Instead, we've relied on a program designed to find moderate anti-government fighters and then train them, equip them, and send them back into Syria ready to do battle. That program is called Division 30, and it's become clear that it's failed. The Pentagon is now hoping to redesign the plan and find a way to recruit and train enough fighters to make a difference in the tangled fight against ISIS and possibly President Bashar al-Assad in Syria. Eric Schmidt is a national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and he has the story on the revamp of Division 30. Eric, welcome.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. When did it become obvious that Division 30 wasn't working?
Well, at the very end of July, the first graduates of this Pentagon training program, they're training these Syrian rebels in sites in Jordan and Turkey, were sent back into their parent unit. And even before they were able to get on the ground, a couple of the commanders of this larger unit, Division 30, were captured by the Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, Al-Nusra Front. The very next day, Nusra Front attacked this group, killing a few people and capturing some more of the Division 30 fighters, apparently fearing that they were going to be targeted, not just the Islamic State. So right off the bat, the very first graduates of this program, about a little more than 50 guys who were in this unit and sent back into Syria, was already in turmoil.
Now, you mentioned 54 guys who were in this unit. The goal of Division 30, and I remember this being discussed, was 5,000 fighters in the first year. Why so few? Why has it been so hard to find and recruit and train fighters willing to fight Assad and ISIS in Syria?
Well, there have been a number of reasons. One is some of these guys, when they're screened, just don't pan out. But the major reason is that most of these Syrian opposition fighters are not interested in fighting the Islamic State, which is what this program is all about. They're about fighting President Assad and his army in Syria. They're the ones who've been waging war against their villages for the last 4 years. So even though there have been several thousand candidates come forward to be screened, when they're asked, will you pledge allegiance, focus the fight on Islamic State? They say, no, we're going to fight Assad. So the pool has been dramatically reduced. And even from then, of course, you're always going to be weeding out people who don't make the grade. So back at the Pentagon, they've had to go back to the drawing board and figure out, well, how can we try and recruit more of these people? And those that we do recruit, how do we not only train them adequately, but as we saw here in this incident, how do we insert them back into Syria with some success, provide them with proper intelligence, obviously the right kind of arms, and prepare them for the fight that they're going to be involved in.
So what does the revamp look like? What are we going to do that's different now at these camps in Jordan that we weren't doing before?
Well, the training itself in Jordan and Turkey is likely to remain roughly the same. What's going to be main difference is what happens when they go back into Syria. The assessments that I was learned about basically said they went back in too small a group. So they're probably going to go back into larger groups. They'll be dropped into safer zones. That is, they won't be attacked right away by larger enemy forces. And they'll also increase their combat skills. They will be prepared better with better intelligence on what the enemy is likely to do when they hit the ground.
But Eric Schmidt, that's all fine, I guess, but it doesn't solve the fundamental conflict that you just described, which is different priorities. The United States has proclaimed that our fight is against Islamic State. We want these guys to fight Islamic State with our weapons and our training, but most of them don't want to do it. Their enemy is Assad. That doesn't change.
That's right. So the U.S. is having to go together and cobble together other programs. What we've seen in recent months, for instance, is Syrian Kurdish forces in the northeastern part of the country have had surprisingly good success in pushing ISIS out of those areas. There's now a separate program to try and develop something similar in the kind of northwestern part of Syria. This is all separate and apart from the training programs we've just discussed. So they're having to kind of build together a patchwork quilt series of different programs, if you will, to try and get fighters who are focused on the Islamic State and not the Assad forces. It's a difficult challenge.
And is there any real hope that the stalemate in Syria can be broken? I mean, you have a deadlock right now between Al-Qaeda-backed forces. You mentioned al-Nusra. There are many others, too many for us to list right here, and American-backed forces who we want to fight ISIS, any hope of pulling a thread and untangling this situation realistically?
Well, right now, it's not looking terribly optimistic. There have been some increasing signs on the part of the Russians that they may be willing to entertain the idea of a different government in Syria, but it would still probably be an Alawite government, that is the group that Assad now heads, but without Assad himself. The Iranians, though, who are the other big backers of President Assad, have shown no signs of letting up. They continue to supply advisors and arms and all to Assad on the ground there. So without a kind of a diplomatic breakthrough that would push Assad out and move the two main patrons of the Syrian state, Iran and Russia, off this, it's hard to see anything changing in the near future.
And what about the number of fighters before we let you go, Eric Schmidt? The original goal of 5,000, they never came anywhere close. What's the more realistic number of American-backed forces we can get into this fight now?
Well, I think you're talking about maybe several hundred at best, given the late date, at least for this year. Again, the goal was 5,000 a year for the first 3 years. They're clearly not going to make that in the first year. The first graduating class was just 50 or so. They've got still a long way to go.
Division 30 has failed. The Pentagon has acknowledged it, at least privately. Can several hundred American-backed fighters make a difference in the tangled fight in Syria when Iran and Russia aren't playing to U.S. interests? Eric Schmidt, national security correspondent for The New York Times. Eric, thanks.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.